praise the Lord. And I'm leaving with this thought that I've introduced to you. God is never behind. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice, but this happened more than twice. Could have happened several times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now the man of God and God was working together. Now God was ahead of the king of Syria. He was ahead of him. But the man of God had to be in step or keeping pace with God in order for God to use him to warn the king. And so I'm going to speak to you from the thought mentioned already two or three times. My God is never behind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's up today. He's up. Praise God, and he's ahead. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to review this for just a moment with you. The king of Syria, King Ben-Hadad, was at war with Israel, and he would plan his strategy. He and his cabinet would plan their strategy for their attacks, and the man of God would send the king word just what King Ben-Hadad had planned. Well, the king could act accordingly. And this happened, as I read to you, more than twice. It could have happened several times, if you know how many that is. And the king began the suspicion that there's someone in our ranks, somebody among us, is telling the king all about our plans and our strategy. He's telling the king. And a man spoke up and said, not so. Not so. There's no one among us that's betraying you and telling the king all that you have planned. There's no one. the man of God, the prophet Elisha, he reveals to King Benhadad what you think and talk in your bedchamber. He reveals it to the king of Israel. Now, that was the Lord working in behalf of his people. And I studied this subject. And not just for today, I have studied it prior to this occasion. And I have convinced myself, if some way, somehow or other, I can live close enough to God and walk with God, God will reveal things to us before it actually happens. He'll lead us by His Spirit and have us prepared and even ahead of the ways of the enemy. I had a very beautiful, unique experience many years ago. It's easy to remember because it was the year before the merger. And the merger was in 1945, so this was in 44. That's before many of your days. We were in a general convention. Never will forget it. It's just a usual general convention. But back in those days, we were not so well organized. Speakers did not know before they went to the conference. They didn't know they were going to speak. Well, I would never heard of such. We knew, the ones that spoke in this last conference knew 2 or 3 months ahead of time. Well, that wasn't the case. I thank God for the merger. That wasn't the case before the merger. We were in conference all day long, all day long. And we were in conference service that night. And after church, as many of us do, we went out for a little time of fellowship and eating and come in late. And I'll tell you also, that's before the day that we flew to conferences. We had to get together 3 or 4 ministers and go in one car and I'll share in the expense of it. And it so happened we went in my car this year, and then we would room together. And so we came in after time of fellowship. It must have been somewhere around 12 or 1 o'clock. Went to bed. I went right off to sleep. But it wasn't but a few minutes till I was awakened. And I felt a little urge down here. Now, you know what that is. There's some sinners here, they would not know. But an urge in my heart to get up and go to the church. I preached there in that city, in the church, and it's only about a mile from where we were staying. Go to the church and pray. Well, I had others there asleep. I didn't want to disturb them. I tried to pull the sheet up over my head and turn over and go back to sleep. And I guess I could have, if I would have fought it off, but I've learned it's best not to when you really feel like it's the Lord. And I eventually just slipped out of bed, didn't turn on the light, put on my clothes, eased out at the door, and I went to the church. Back door I knew to the prayer room was always open. I knew that. And I went in that prayer room, turned on the light. And I took my Bible and About an hour, I had a message. God gave me a sermon. Well, thank the Lord, I'm ready to preach to my church when I get back Sunday. Preachers, that's the way they get their messages. They know how I felt. I'm ready to preach to my church Sunday. Thank the Lord for the message. And got in my car and eased back in the motel room. Didn't wake no one up going or coming. And tell you the truth, I didn't miss the sleep I lost. When you do it for God, He'll take care of it. If you do it fooling around, you'll yawn and groan all day the next day. But if you'll do it for God, He'll make up for it. Went to church all day the next day, and the next night, sitting back, way back in the audience, Brother Goss was general superintendent, Brother Vogel was secretary. And I saw them both stand to their feet. The choir is singing its first song, and it's to sing two songs. And I saw Brother Goss throw that big old finger. Some of you have seen that. You that haven't, you've missed something. Oh, it has the biggest old hand, and seemed like when he'd throw it, it was going to leave his arm and go right on out there. And when he threw that big old finger, it hit me right in the face. And Brother Vogel got up and went down the wall and in the back and came and sat down with me. And they are finishing the first song. And he said, Brother Glass, we're in a hard place. We have been so busy today, we have not selected a speaker for tonight. And Brother Goss said, you would help us in this time of crises. And he kept on talking. He said, I know it's very unfair on such short notice. And the Holy Ghost said, short notice? Short notice? I have you ready. That's what I got you up for last night. I've got you ready. And I just had my Bible in my lap. I just stood up, and they're starting on their second song now. Followed Brother Vogel to the platform, didn't much more than get seated, until they brought me right to the pulpit. Brother Goss made mention, you saw us sin for Brother Glass. You saw us sin for him. That's the notice he's had. No, Brother Goss, that's not the notice. God has me ready. God is never behind. Never behind. If you will keep pace with Him, you will never be behind. Praise the Lord. You will never be behind. Thank the Lord. And I learned a lesson from that. That's a long time ago. And I want to listen to that voice that speaks ahead of time. You may not feel no need right then, but there's a need that's going to face you in a little while that you're going to be unprepared for if you don't take advantage of this notice that God is giving you. Praise the Lord. Had another experience, and this stirred me up. I repented before God and just prayed and felt so bad about it. But it was a miracle. It was really something. This was a long time ago. I was superintendent of our district then. And a lot of you don't even remember that because I was, Brother and Sister Clement may remember it. This is before the merger. And I was pastoring in Fort Arthur. And I went over into Louisiana. My district was Louisiana and East Texas. Preached for somebody on a Saturday night. Going back into Fort Arthur, just this side of Orange. I had a couple in the car with me. And my car went to spitting and sputtering. And I looked and I was out of gas. And that's something that I preach against. Running out of gasoline on the highway. I say it don't take any more to keep the tank full than it does empty if you won't drive it too much. And I just sit there and tried to figure, why am I out of gasoline? It's about 10 or 10:30 at night, and I wasn't going to get out on the highway and try to flag somebody down, because I don't stop when people try to flag me down, so I don't expect them to stop. It's too dangerous on the highway to stop somebody flagging you down unless you know them. And over here was a dim light. The fact it is 200 or 300 yards from the highway. And I told the young man and his wife, I said, you stay here with the car, and I'll walk across here and see if I can get some gasoline. I didn't know no road, no trail. I fell in stump holes. I fell over logs, and I got up, and I finally got to the house, and I knocked on the door, and the man said, come in. Well, I'm not going to walk in like that. I knocked again. Come in. I knocked the third time, and he came to the door and invited me in. And it was a man and his wife, and looked like their neighbors visiting. And I began to explain to him that I was out of gasoline over here on the highway. He said, you're Brother Glass, aren't you? And I said, well, yes, I am. He said, I hear you every Sunday morning on the radio. I hear you every Sunday. And he said, come go with me. He said, I got a gasoline can. I'll drive you back to Benton, which is just 4 or 5 miles, and get you some gasoline. And said, I have no way of siphoning any out of my car. I want to talk to you anyway. Well, we went out to the highway, and he was weeping, telling me how he wanted God. And I soon found out why I ran out of gasoline. I soon understood. And he took me and got the gasoline, and we talked about the Lord, and if God had just so arranged it, I was to preach in Orange Monday through Friday, which is only 5 or 6 miles over from where he lived on the Texas line, Monday through Friday. And I told him about us to preach there, and I said, I want you there Monday night. I went Monday night, and he and his family was on the front seat. And when I preached and gave the altar call, they jumped to the altar and found God and was baptized. Praise the Lord. Well, that's glorious, isn't it? No, that convicted me. That stirred me. I prayed about that. I wanted to be close enough to God that He could move on me and wouldn't have to move on my gas tank. Now, I know that's laughable. God can do it one way or the other. But I ought to live close enough to Him. Praise God that He can speak to me. And I've had Him to do it. I've had Him to do it. I felt one time like going to a man's house. And this is going to sound almost unbelievable to you. It happened one time in my life, and I hope it never happens again. I felt urge, a leading, to go to this man's house. And just as I walked up to the door, that front door came open and he fell right over against me and looked at me and said, Pastor Glass, what are you doing here? I said, well, to tell you the truth, I really don't know. He said, come inside. I went inside, and his wife had just confessed a love affair to him, teaching that model prayer, that beautiful model prayer. I thought about just preaching on it here. Couldn't do it in one day. It'd take 3 or 4, but that's not the Lord's prayer. That's His model prayer. That's His prayer that He teaches you to pray. You want to find
the Lord's Prayer, you go to the 17th chapter of John, you'll find him praying. But here he's teaching us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on and on. Give us this day, that's ahead of time. Ahead of time. It wasn't night, and thank you, Lord, for the bread you gave us today. This is ahead of time. Praying ahead of time. Give us this day our daily bread. That's ahead. Lead us not into temptation. That's ahead. Before you get to that temptation, before you are there, pray, lead me not into temptation. Praise God. So many people would be so much better off had they prayed that morning when they were so tempted. Lead me not into temptation. Praying ahead of time. Thank God. So many of us are so far behind with our praying. Praise God. We ought to be up today praying ahead of time. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think about the great Apostle Paul when he was en route to Rome. Though he was a prisoner on a ship going to Rome, here before Caesar, he was up to date with the Lord, right up to the moment. They were fixing the sail, and Paul said to them, Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt, much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also our lives will be in danger. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken for that old man in bonds, a prisoner. But had they listened to him, he was up to date. He was ahead. The Lord knew what was down the road. And he revealed what was down the road to his servant, to his minister. Praise God. And I believe this with all of my heart. If you and I will keep pace with God, we'll be in a position, and I believe we are in a position. I believe our ministers are warning the world what's coming upon us. Praise God. I believe that. I believe that. There's a storm a-brewing. I find a verse in the Scripture that says, The Lord God will do nothing but what He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. They're going to know what God's going to do before He does it. He's going to reveal it to them. You go back in the Old Testament and you'll find the Lord revealing to Abraham what He's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. He reveals to Lot what He's going to do. He reveals to Noah what He's going to do. He reveals to Jonah what He's going to do to Nineveh. And He will reveal and is revealing to us what's coming upon this earth. Praise God. And I'm going to say, don't be discouraged because they won't believe you. Just keep on telling them. Just keep on telling them. They wouldn't believe Paul. Well, Paul was a prisoner on the ship, and it wasn't a commodious place for them to winter. They'd rather spend the winter somewhere else, and they listen to the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of God. And that's where we are today, but we're going to keep on preaching this glorious gospel, the soon coming of the Lord, the signs of the times. We must tell it. We must tell it. And I realize that the people won't believe it, but we got to tell them anyway. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hate to tell you this, but it's true. The Bible teaches it. And we get all enthused and inspired and encouraged here that we're going to take the world. We're going to take the world for Christ. I don't want to deflate you this morning, but according to the Word of God, this world will never be taken for Christ. All right. All right. My Bible teaches me, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it to life. But broad is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. A man told me one time, you just as well quit preaching. You'll never save the world. You'll never save the world. Just as well hold up and quit. I said, my friend, he was a sinner man. I said, my friend, I didn't start out to save the world. I really started out to save myself. That was my purpose for starting, was to save myself. And in the course of saving myself, God has called me into the ministry. I'm working out my salvation. I'm working on my salvation. Then he said, if I'd preach the gospel, he'd save everyone that would believe me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And the Bible does not teach us the whole world is going to be saved. But we've got to do our best to reach the world. Give them a chance. Praise God, and that's what we're doing. And I thank God for the nations that we outreach. And I thank the Lord for the ones we're reaching yet. But don't be discouraged because the whole world is not saved. They never will be. But we're going to save ourselves and all that will hear us. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise God. They wouldn't believe Paul down the road. They sure wish they had. They sure wish they had. And they'll see the day. They'll see the day that they would give anything in the world if they would have listened to us. Thank God. So many things comes to my mind here. Such a blessing to pastor the church and town that you were saved in. Preach to people that you grew up with. Preach to when you were young and now you're both old. And you stand by their bedside dying. And they tell you they wish they'd have took the course you took. They wish they'd have listened to you. But too late. Too late. Praise the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that God was working in a mysterious, miraculous, unusual way in Jerusalem when the church was enjoying fantastic revival, most glorious move of God. All the apostles was in Jerusalem, and I don't know which one of them preached on this occasion. I sure would like to have their tape. I'd do like a lot of people do some tapes I know they get. I'd sell them.
I've never sold a tape in my life. But if I had that one, I'd sell it. And you'd buy it, too. One of those apostles preached a message, and God took it and so used it until he moved on all the saints of Jerusalem to sell everything they had. Now, God is never behind. He's never behind. I don't know how many of those saints wrestled with that conviction that God was giving them. Sell your house. Sell what you have. Bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. And we'll never know the struggle that went on. The Bible doesn't give it. Maybe some of the saints visited and talked about it and talked one another into going along with the church. Anyway, they sold what they had. And I find that this is really not a command. It had never been done before. And I can't find where it was ever done after that. This was just a one-time affair, one-time thing. But they sold everything they had. And they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. You think, Brother Sism, Brother Urshan, my, what in the world could we do if that had happened in our church today? I don't know. We may live to see the day that we wish we had. We may live to see that day. But this church did it. They brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why? Why did that happen? I studied and I found that it wasn't too long after that. And God saw it coming. And the apostles probably didn't see it coming. The church didn't see it coming. But God saw. God is never behind. He sees ahead, and he wants to lead us accordingly. Accordingly. And so he saw Titus coming into Jerusalem and overthrowing Jerusalem, taking everything the people had, driving the people out. Jesus saw that coming. And so he's not behind. He moves on his people. Sell that home. Sell what you have. And you give it to me. You bring it to the church. Turn it over to the apostles. And I just know that old Brother John Doe, when Titus came in and took everything they had, there may be one man here that could sympathize with him. Brother Kershaw, I've heard his testimony. How everything they had was taken from them, driven out of their own home. I know when Brother John Doe was driven out of his home and out of the city of Jerusalem, he must have went out rejoicing, thank God. They never got it. I sold it. I bought the money. I gave it to the Lord. The Lord got what I had. Titus didn't get it. The Lord got it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord saw that coming and moved on his saint, moved on his church. He knew they'd be happy down the road. You see, he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us, and they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, that he may give unto us an expected end. Today may be dreary. It may be lonely. It may be a day we can't understand. But at tomorrow we're going to understand all about it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I know in reason that church. Now, you may not agree with that theology, but I just kept studying and searching until I agreed with it. It sure did bless me when I agreed with that practice that God, in His goodness and kindness, wanted His people to rejoice over what they had done and not regret what they had done. Never behind. God is never behind. In this day in which we live, things are transpiring that you think God is a million miles from it. Never. Never. He's right there. He knows exactly what's going on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's ahead. He's ahead. I thought of so many Bible characters. Poor Joseph. Only God knows what that young man suffered in spirit and in mind, in his heart. God never did reveal it to him. Never did until he come into Pharaoh's house and become a ruler and then saw his brethren. It all unfolded to Joseph that God was working all the time. He's ahead. He's ahead. He's not behind. He's not behind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Missionary told me last night, just so enthused and so inspired, and there's countries opening up to us in the South Pacific. He mentioned the countries, and he said, Brother Glass, when we go in, they're going to be waiting for us. They're going to be waiting for us. God goes ahead. He's never behind. He's never behind. He's never behind. He worked with Cornelius, and at the same time he's working with Cornelius, he's working on the other end of the line. He's working with Peter. He's working with Peter. Praise God. He's working with us. He's working with doors to open unto us.